Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never heard this version. It's cool. My favorite band, 305 DGS. Happy Thursday to you. I love the day out there. This morning, one of the most beautiful mornings, sunny and cold, and just loved it. Like the start of a movie. Rach, tell me about tipping. What's going on with tipping?
Okay, so there's a new TikTok video where DoorDash workers are revealing which celebrities tip and which celebrities don't really tip. So this pops up every once in a while on TikTok. People talk about their celebrity experiences. A lot of times it's not very flattering. So it was started by a TikTok user who posted a video saying, me delivering a food order for DoorDash to a very rich recording artist's house in the Hollywood Hills where my car was huffing and puffing to get up their driveway for them to just tip me $2. So other people started jumping in. Someone said they postmated for David Dobrik. He's a YouTube guy and got no tip. So this guy has tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. Someone else said, I DoorDashed for Kylie Jenner. The order was over $250 and she tipped $2.
I know that this is a whole thing. I know that like Michael Jordan doesn't tip anything. There's lots of professional athletes and they have reasons for it.
No good reasons.
You guys, that's a good one.
You guys know that I'm a big tipper.
A huge tipper.
If I had a bunch of money, like millions, I thought about this the other day. I would tip $100 on everything regardless.
Why wouldn't you?
Because I'm never going to miss it.
Yeah, and you're helping out a gig worker.
Yeah.
Someone who is taking it upon themselves to work extra to put a little extra money in their pocket. Like, come on.
I'll tell you what. Next time that guy gets that address, after getting a $100 tip, he's not going to be throwing your food around in his car.
Yeah, he's not eating any of your fries at that point.
Mm-hmm.
This made me happy, though. One user said, I DoorDash for Taylor Swift, and she actually tipped me $50.
Nice.
So then this is an article on BuzzFeed that it kind of tied in. Servers are sharing the signs that show that people aren't going to tip. So some of them are being overpraised during the meal. They call them verbal tippers. Mm. If they're spending so much time telling you how great your service is and how incredible they are, it's actually more likely that they're going to give you a small tip or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
A large group of young people speaks for itself. Needy customers with complicated orders, you know, asking for extra this, can I sub this, can I get this for free, probably means you're not going to get a good tip. One person said, pressing the tip directly into your hand. When they do that at the end of the meal and praises how good you are, it's always a fraction of what you would usually be tipped.
That's interesting.
Mentioning that they are a server too, anytime a customer wants to, you know, relate to you, sometimes they feel like this is just a way for them to wiggle out of giving me a good tip.
Yeah.
People who brag about how much they tip, and the biggest one was snapping their fingers at you to get your attention. That just means you're a total jerk. And it not surprise me that you're not tipping people well at that point.
And I would feel differently about it. Like, the one thing about tipping I don't understand is I don't understand who to tip. Like, in a restaurant, I got it. People who deliver things to my home, got it. Movers, things like that, got it. But there's so many other professions that seem to expect to be tipped that I would have never thought of. And I can't bring one to mind right now, but, you know, if waiters and waitresses and DoorDash people were making $100,000 a year, I'd be like, oh, you're fine. But they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're literally serving me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when someone is literally serving me, they're bringing food and putting it in front of me. They're driving to my house to bring me something because I'm too lazy to get it. I feel like they deserve something nice.
For sure, yeah.
Absolutely. So do you, would you tip like your masseuse?
Oh God, yes. Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's one of those, I feel like I've had one professional massage and I can't remember if I tipped or not. If I didn't know you were supposed to.
Yeah.
Do you tip your casino dealer? I didn't know that was a thing.
I would if I am not a gambling guy, but when I have, if I won, I definitely would, but I don't know what the etiquette is there because I don't go to the casino much.
Yeah, I would have thought about that.
What about your taxi driver?
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's see. We have tour guide. I have never heard of that one.
I avoid tours of any kind, like within an inch of my death. So, yeah.
What about your golf caddy, Dave? Do you even golf with a caddy whenever you go?
Never.
Yeah.
No.
What's another one? Well, if you go, there's a million things for women. So obviously you want to tip your stylist. You go get your eyebrows done. You want to tip them. I've always wondered if you were to go get a facial or something and you're spending $200 on that.
Yeah.
Do you tip them on top of that? I've actually looked it up and it says it's nice to tip, but you don't have to.
Yeah, I would. I tried to tip Dana at BioBalance, who does the Botox, and she flatly refused. And I'm like, no. And she's like, no.
Yeah, I've heard you don't tip the estheticians.
Yes.
But if it's a facialist or something, then it's okay to tip them.
That's what she told me.
So when you guys go and tan, it's a machine, right?
Yes.
So okay, so you don't
and
tip,
I do
like,
tip the, no, I'm just kidding. No. Hey, that's a good question. Did you ever tip the people who have hand sprayed you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Shoving a $5
tipping all
bill
over the place,
well,
Dave.
I mean, it's usually a 22-year-old girl painting me like I'm a bowling trophy. So.
And then you leave and you're like, that was great.
Yeah, I just wanted her to get
so
over the...
Yeah.
I feel so relaxed,
like, look,
after
that. This is obviously going to affect you for a long time, so let me try to make it up to you monetarily in some way.
How do you guys feel about that, the TikTok trend of like people in the service industry who call out celebrities? It's obviously really interesting, but there's no way of proving that they're telling the truth.
Yeah.
So I always feel kind of like,
I'm not a big fan of caller outer, but the tipping thing has always bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
I've told the story before, but I, to this day, loathe Sean Hannity. And back when he was first on 97.1, I really hated him, mostly because of my own ego. Now I hate him because he's an ass. But when he came in town and I was all salty toward him, Ruth Chris was my client and his at the time. And he ordered $2,000 worth of food for everybody. Mm. And he tipped $2,000.
Wow. That's classy.
And I was like, okay.
Nice.
He's not that big.
God, I hate that guy. He makes me look so bad.
That's exactly.
That you're going to be like,
Dave's taking the tip off the table. They can never know about this.
That you're going to be like, I had him on my show and he didn't tip me. Most of the guests tip me.
Man, that's the most evil kind of person who takes a tip off of a table. People who steal in that way.
Who does that?
I've heard of people doing it.
There are 100%. I've seen it done before.
Some Hoosiers out there.
Yeah, what? I was at a little place in Alton a couple of years
ago.
Yeah,
maybe it's an Alton thing because that's where I've seen it too.
But it's like you see like a crumpled up $5 bill resting on a table and it's been there for a while. Maybe the server hasn't noticed yet that it's even there. And like somebody will just be walking out and they'll just kind of like, kind of snap it up off the table. And
I had a tipping thing the other day. So I go to the Starbucks on Market Street all the time on my way to work. And I don't even know if that's the street it's on. Who cares? And most of the time I order from the app. There's not really a way to tip. So once in a while, I'll give a big tip in cash and I'll put it in the little tip jar. But like, I want them to see me doing it, right?
100%.
I want to do it because I want to tip them, but also, it would be nice if you knew that I was giving you 20.
Making a big cough
it's the George Costanza. Remember that one? When he kept putting his hand in and out, and they thought he was stealing it?
Yeah.
Well, I did it the other day, and I'm like, and I put it in there, and they like kind of half noticed. They're like, oh, thank you, and I'm like, yeah, did you see which bill it was?
It's
better than average.
No, I want the
You're
credit.
You're going to be very happy with that.
I want the credit. The other day, I had some guys deliver furniture, and I had no cash. And I said, guys, I have no cash. If one of you have a Venmo, I'm happy to Venmo it to you. And three pretty young guys. And the one guy goes, I say, here's my number. You can text me. And he did. And I Venmoed them. A nice, really nice tip. And he texted me back, and he was so nice from Carroll House. And he was like, I'm going to be honest with you. We thought there was 0% chance. Because, But he was so
I'll send it to you later.
Effusive with his thanks. It was really nice.
That's sweet.
What's your address? I'll mail it to you.
Have you ever had to do the thing where, like, you have like my all my wallets in my car, or like I left it at home. I promise I will come back and pay you for this.
Yes.
I just
Yes, that happened to me at Chick-fil-A, and they gave me the food. It's happened to me at the grocery store. But they don't go like, you know what, you're good for it.
Yeah.
But you just feel
I'm sure we'll get that $300 at some point.
You just feel like such an ass where you're just like, everything that we just did, just put it all back.
Mm-hmm. I have Apple Pay on my phone, so a couple times in the drive-thru I've forgotten my wallet, but I'm like, if you could just, can I just reach in through the window and I've got the Face ID, I'll scan it and I can pay, and they're like, what are you talking about? Just, do you have money?
Yeah, once you have kids, you kind of live through your kids. And Nick started working for Jeff Dill, who's now the managing partner at Capital Grille, when he was 16, and at Ruth's Chris. And, you know, I was always really proud of him. You're 16, you're out there busting your hump and making very little money. And they would share the tips with, you know, the servers. They get tipped pretty good. But he said that it happened all the time. And Rach, kind of like what you're talking about, the biggest group of the biggest jerks who would stay until 1 a.m. and then stiff you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just like, God, what?
And usually those people's excuse are like, well, you should just get a job that pays more. Why should I have to supplement your income? Okay, if that's the way you feel, then don't go to a restaurant, because you know that that's the way it's set up. You know that society is telling you, like, hey, if someone is serving you, you should compensate them for their service. And if you are against that, then don't go patronize a restaurant. You're breaking the social code.
One of our old coworkers at the old company, you guys know who I'm talking about, would rarely pay, but when he did, he would tip 5%. And I would always, and I wasn't making any money at this time. I was making no money, but I just had to like hang out and leave something extra. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just like, it was just embarrassing. Like, 5%, don't leave anything. 5%'s just.
I know.
Yeah. And it's like, if you're getting that,
like, wow.
If you're getting that defensive about it, then you know what you're doing is wrong.
Right.
Like, if you're getting defensive and being like, well, why do I have to supplement your, well, then you know what you're doing. If your reaction is anything but, oh my gosh, I had no idea.
That's why I always say, I think everyone should work in the food service industry at some point. One, because it sucks for the most part. And you can see how bad it sucks. And for the rest of your life, going to restaurants, I think you'll feel a little more empathy. Now, don't get me wrong. I've still had many restaurant experiences where I didn't want to tip at all. We've been through that. Like just going to a million lunches.
Oh, yeah. Not everyone's perfect. Not all the servers are perfect.
No. God, no. Sometimes they're awful. 322 in the dot, DGS. Kevin Wheeler's here, and you just got $20 out of me when you heard I tip everybody. So.
I just asked. I'm like, hey, do I get a tip for showing up and doing this?
Well, I was saying on Twitter, Mitchell says, I think I'm a really generous tipper. I was a pizza driver for years, but I hate it when places have a tip jar for doing nothing more than taking your money, like a self-serve ice cream or Froyo shop.
I get that.
And then it's staring you in the face, and you're like, well, no one served me.
I get it.
But
no, the dumbest thing I do is I'm about to switch over to Bronze Tan in Clayton. They're not a sponsor. I just like them and they're fans of the show. So I'm giving them a shout out. But the place I go to now, same place Rach does, I go in to get a spray tan and they're like, do you want the bronzer? I'm like, of course. And they're like, hey, it's an extra $8. I'm like, great. And they're like, put it on your card. I'm like, sure. And then they spin the little iPad around and it's like, would you like to tip 10, 15, 25? So I'm like 25.
You tip 25% for no one to provide a service for you.
I'm a punk, Rach.
Yeah, it's one thing if they're hand spraying you, but you're going into a room where all they have to do is type into the computer. He wants the extra dark spray tan.
I know. I'm a fool.
Mm. Yeah.
What just happened there?
My tag in my Mike Shannon t-shirt that I put on because I'm hot was making me feel weird like a little kid at church.
You're like all wiggly. Like, yeah.
So I just ripped it out. I needed my mom to be like, stop it.
I thought you had ripped your necklace off and thrown it in the garbage. I'm like, whoa.
Stupid thing. It's what makes me tip
this
when
guy
I shouldn't.
Really does have money. He's throwing jewelry away.
Someone slipped a stupidity amulet around me at some point.
Who's the patron saint of dumb?
How are you today?
I'm good, man. I'm chilling. This is a good day.
Good.
Even though I had to cut the lawn, which I hate, but...
Last time,
hopefully. That's why I waited so long. It was pretty bad. It's pretty shaggy. So.
So you're not one of those men who love taking care of the lawn.
Something wrong if you like that.
Thank you.
I think. I mean,
you.
Like, if you're like, because I got buddies that like it. They're like, oh, it's just,
you know, I put on the headphones and I can like, it's like a little escape. I'm like, no, no, you can do that in your basement. You can, you know, get a man cave, go for a drive, you know, go hang out somewhere. Like, no, don't think.
If I had a big lawn and a riding mower, maybe.
I could see that a little bit more. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't have like a difficult yard. It's, I mean, like when we moved here, one of our goals was a smaller yard. Because I had a massive yard in my last house when we lived in Chicago before we moved here. And it was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Like, doing the lawn was like 3 hours and, stupid. I don't know why I did that. And now it's smaller, but we got a hill in the back, which is a pain.
Mm.
It's a pain.
Remember the day we had push mowers and my dad brought home a silver. I've been trying to find one of these. It was silver. I'm sure it was from Sears, probably a Craftsman. And it was one of those riding lawnmowers. It didn't have the hood like a truck.
Okay.
It was more like a go-kart. Oh, my God. It was so much fun. And it was even more fun if you took the blade up and put it in third because it would go, like, pretty fast. But he would get so mad at me for that. And one day I was doing that, and I hit a bump, and I flipped it. And he came running out, and I made the horrible split-second decision. I'm, like, 14. To pretend I was crying like I was hurt, and that just enraged him all the more. It was pretty much like that.
Like, oh.
Him has boo-boo.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, him's gonna have a boo-boo.
Yeah, I've got some history with tractors. We never had one.
It's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
In college, like one summer in college, I was the grounds crew guy in my hometown, the city, at their big baseball facility. It was me and another dude, and we had to take care of everything, right?
Did a great job or a bad job?
We were amazing. The fields were never better because we were both baseball players, so we knew exactly how everybody wanted it to be. We had the big field, the college field, really beautiful. We tore the mound down and redid it and built it so it wouldn't be terrible. We were like, but here's the thing. We would get our work done. We were the seasonal workers, the temps, right? We'd get our work done by 11 a.m., noon, and we're like, why is this all that we have? And then the full-time guys are like, you guys are going too fast. You're making us look bad. Yeah, so what we used to do when we run out of things to do is we'd have, like, tractor races or we'd play chicken, and we had one bad thing. We exploded a tractor.
It's hard to do.
The John Deere, yeah. Well, I mean, it was a head-on collision, and we both wiped and all of that stuff, and it just started flaming. Like, it burst into flames. So we're like, we looked at each other for a second, and we're like, because we had leverage, we caught our immediate supervisor with a six-pack in his city truck at lunchtime. Mm. And from that point, we could do whatever we wanted. I mean, we were golden. We played wiffle ball in the hockey arena. Oh, my God, yeah, yeah. I mean, he'd always come check on us, too. He's like, his name was Pat. And he'd be like, hey, Dougie, hey, Kevy, what's up, guys? He's trying to, like, always buddy up to us because he knew we had him. Like, his job was in our hands, these college kids. So
I had a boss like that once, but he was mostly trying to touch me.
Now, he didn't do that. He was probably not going to take any more risks.
Is there anything better? Rach, I think you said that you remember this from going to see Big Dave Zimmerman play sports than a sports field concession stand. Oh, I loved it. Just loved
it. Oh, I loved it.
I loved it.
I liked getting big league chew at the age of 4, having never played a sport in my life. Eating it like shred by shred. That was pretty fun.
Just you could just take a giant handful of it too. Yeah.
Slushies.
Did they have the chip bag taco when you were...
That's a new thing.
I think that's new.
Frito pie? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know what you call
it. It's like that, yeah.
You open a chip bag and you stuff it full of like chili and then you just...
Are you kidding me?
No, that's true. No.
No. I mean, I know what they are, but of course we didn't have those things. That's what we had on birthdays in South Carolina.
He was eating milk ice or whatever.
That was in the major leagues, man. You didn't get that in Little League.
At a concession stand?
I'm just shocked at how many concession stands they like sell beer.
Yeah.
Like, what?
For Little League games?
Yeah, like,
you stop that.
I mean, I get it. Like, sometimes getting through some games, it's like, okay, this is pretty rough. But I don't know if that's such a great idea.
Our base coaches used to drink beer standing there at the base. Swear to God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were raging. 333 DJS. Kevin Wheeler's here. Brought to you by the Good Feet Store. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief for the Good Feet Store. We're just talking on the break. It's like sports and jackassing around and shenanigans and stuff. So I didn't grow up in the country, but my house was the last one in town. Then it was country. And like everyone's yard was everyone else's yard pretty much. And I remember one day my dad called me home and he had erected a basketball hoop.
Ooh.
And it was probably a little better than 9 foot. but it was perfect. And it was like the backboard was made of an old sign. And it was one of those, it was like Hoosiers or something, you know?
Okay.
Like, I could not be beaten on that court because
you had all the advantages.
Exactly. I knew all the angles, knew the whole thing.
Yeah.
And once I got to be 14 or 15, I could, you know, dunk pretty easily because it's 9 feet. And one of my friends who lived in the neighborhood, it's a bad story for me, his name was Mike, and my dad called him Mortimer Schnerd, and he had something wrong with his legs, pretty bad. But he was a gamer. He'd play all the sports with us, and we'd tackle him just like anyone else. And my rim started kind of giving a little bit. And it was back when Daryl Dawkins was breaking all the,
oh,
you know.
Yeah.
So I remember it like yesterday. So I was probably 20 yards away from the basket. I'm all alone. I got the basketball in my hand. I'm going to dunk, and I'm going to rip down the rim. And I remember just catching movement out of the corner of my eye. And here comes Mortimer Schnerd sprinting from his house. And he just, I couldn't get there fast enough. He jumps up, he grabs the net, and he pulls the whole thing down. And I'm just standing there with the ball in my hand.
That's a fight right there when you're a kid.
Well, not when he's just got back from the Shriners because of his legs. But
okay.
Yeah. But I still remember it to this day. I was in my mom's basement.
It's a hell of a troll move right there.
Last weekend, and I saw the rim sitting there, and it brought it all back. It's like, damn it. Aren't boys stupid, Rach?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
I mean, yeah.
I didn't know how to react to that story. I was just like, okay, and then what happened?
But you get it.
I did.
I mean, it's a move.
I mean, that was boss right there. That's what that's doing. That's like, no, Dave, you're not going to do that. I'm going to do that. That's just like, I mean, that's like, I don't know what it is about us, but dudes, we're just like we're like that. We can't go around peeing on things, so that's kind of the way we do it.
Yeah.
You know?
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Just casually cruel to each other.
Pretty much.
For sure, especially to your friends.
Yeah.
So, my next door neighbor was asking me today, we were talking outside, and he's like, man, he goes, I love it when you and Derek Gould talk on, you know, do sports and do interviews. He goes, but you guys argue all the time. Are you guys really friends? I'm like, I always argue with my friends. Like, those are the best people to argue with. When you argue with people you don't know, they don't understand. Like, you don't have that mutual understanding of, like, this is not because we don't like each other. This is just because this is fun.
It's a hard thing to explain to people who don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've heard the show. This is pretty much what we do. And years ago, I had a live client, and I was busting on him because I liked him. And he called my boss. He's like, I don't know what to do, but I heard Dave busting on me, and I just don't. Should I cancel my advertising? And I had to talk to the guy because he wasn't a guy's guy. And I had to talk to him and say, like, if I don't bust on you, then that's when we have a problem.
I wonder what percentage of people don't get that. Like, you've heard this before, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know that, like, that's a dude thing or whatever.
Yeah, or like it's like a DGS thing, too. Like, we're mean to each other.
Yeah. I mean, I've run into, I've had experiences with people that are like that. Like, they're like, you start messing with them and they're like, why so hostile? Like, this isn't hostile. We're just playing.
Yeah.
You know, like, why did you tackle me when we were playing tackle football? Because we're playing football.
If I didn't like you, I wouldn't be making fun of you because I wouldn't want to talk to you. You know what I mean? Like, I would just avoid you.
Right. Or you wouldn't want to offer offense to someone you know, that you don't like. Right? I mean, if you're somebody you don't like, you just avoid.
Exactly.
I don't want to start stuff with someone that's like, you know, that might take what I'm saying, in this case, the right way rather than the wrong way.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you've got beef. I don't want beef. I just want to mess with people.
Perfect example. When we were down at 97.1, if we needed a scapegoat for something, we would always say Fred Bottomer because we all love Fred. Like, we just like him. So we'd be like, oh, I bet it was Fred Bottomer, wasn't it?
And that's it. Shawn Michael Lyle's Zodiac killer the other day. It's like,
if we had problems with those people, we would not bring them up. But it's like, it's funny. We just kind of want to bring Fred up because we like him.
It's not fair because she's not here to defend herself because she's throwing up at home. Trish is still trying to figure it out. Like, it's a mean room. And when we're busting on her, I think she's like, what are you doing?
The whole premise of this show is, we're like, why are you doing that thing in that way? That's weird.
It's so stupid. Here's something that made me mad. The Brian Laundry thing that's going on right now, and maybe they found his body and such. And today I saw an article on CNN that said, legal expert tells you why the notebook could be important. And I'm like, I don't think I need that.
I think we're able to get inside this young man's mind whenever we read what he wrote.
Right before he died? Like,
I was gonna say, here's why finding Brian Laundrie's body might blow this whole case wide
open. Here's why we decided not to just throw the diary into a fire. We are going to read it, actually.
And then Nancy Grace's stupid ass, it said, Nancy Grace, quote, "It very likely may be Brian Laundrie." I'm like, yeah, you just found a body next to his notebook and his book bag. Like, way to go, Sherlock.
And you just heard
sources
that,
say.
You just heard that from the FBI. You didn't
right.
conduct that
and
investigation
his lawyers
yourself.
Also, his family's lawyers also said, like, yeah.
Like, that's him.
And that right there, by the way, is what I hate about news, is we got to make everything seem important. Like, even the stuff where everybody's like, duh.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you think you might learn something from the person's own thoughts in print? Might be important. Thanks.
So what do you guys make of this? Like, as I understand it, the parents were, quote unquote, helpful. But then all of a sudden yesterday, they're like, you know where he might be? And then they walked like 30 yards into the park.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, there he is. Like, that's...
yep.
That's a little hinky.
It was like a secret trail that not a lot of people know about, but their family used all the time. And they're like, you know what? We didn't think about this yet.
It was basically in their backyard.
Yeah.
In a pup tent. You're like, So, okay. They lost their son, who is also probably a murderer, and they helped him to hide for a couple of weeks. Do you say you've had enough damage to your family, or do you go, you're going to jail?
Whatever the law is, I guess.
I mean, yeah, but I'd say that
the law.
It depends on. It depends on what they actually knew. Like, that's the hard part, is how do you prove exactly? Because I mean, like, I know a lot of people that would say there's no way my son did that. Even if everything pointed that way, I would have a hard time believing that about my kid. Like, I wouldn't sit there and be like, well, obviously my kid did it. Like, you know, I mean, I think there's a bit of denial that kicks in. So I guess it depends on how much they knew. Like, if the kid went to them and said, here's what I did do this, and then you covered for him?
Right.
You need to hit some charges.
Yeah, I mean, do you think we should give some leeway to people if it is your offspring of, like, you're probably going to tilt in the direction of innocence? Like, I think you do have to give a little leeway there, because I think it's only human nature to feel that way. Remember when the sister came out and said, like, I don't know where Brian was, and if I did, I'd tell on him.
Yeah.
We all thought that was really weird.
I mean, I'd tell on my brother, and he would tell on me. I'm serious. Like, if one of us, like, killed someone, there's no way either one of us would cover for each other.
You know he didn't.
And we're buddies, too, like, man. We're close, but I guarantee you, we'd be like, nope.
Is there anyone you wouldn't?
I mean, I would not believe it. I mean, my kid would have to admit to me that she did something like that before I would believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably immediately be like, no, my kid would never do that.
But if she did and said, I need you to help me bury this body.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a good question. I'm right there on the fence right now. I'm thinking, no, that's terrible. Why would you ever do that? But then I'm also thinking, maybe.
I asked Kevin to come in early so we could hang out and have a good time today. And then he gets here and we're like,
nah, it's all, yeah, would you cover for her? Would you cover for your daughter if she murdered someone?
Would you help
her? Well, let's
her
put it this
body?
Way. If the person deserved it, yes.
Right.
If it was a dude that had beat her up or something, I'd be like, let's go. We're going to the ocean.
When's the last time you laid back in a chaise lounge and snacked on a couple pieces of white bread?
Sounds nice, doesn't it?
He did that last night.
Sounds nice, doesn't it?
No.
He couldn't find any snacks, so he cracked open some Wonder, and he had a couple of pieces of white bread on his chaise lounge.
El Paradiso.
Wow.
While his cat tried to eat it out of his mouth.
We need to pay him more. This is not good.
I mean, like, you have a car, right?
Yeah, but it was like 10:30. I didn't
like
want to go
nearest store/gas station can't be more than a few minutes away.
It would have taken me like 4 whole minutes to get to Quick Trip.
Yeah. Well, I'll just eat white bread.
I was going to go to Quick Trip and get like a donut or something. And then I was like, yeah, but I got white bread.
I mean, you don't have like peanut butter. You don't have.
No, we didn't have anything.
Like regular. You don't have like regular butter or a piece of cheese or whatever.
None of the above.
He's making some points.
And none of the.
So what we're learning is you need to go to the grocery store at some point.
He's not wrong. All of what he's saying is right. I just don't have it.
I mean, grab a box of ramen noodles, man. I mean, like, good Lord.
Can I bring up one thing before we go to break that drives me crazy too? Similar to all of the like, ooh, the journal is important when it comes to getting inside the head of the killer. So trans activists are protesting outside of Netflix today, and a bunch of people are walking out of Netflix in support of the LGBTQ plus community. And of course, there's counter protesters there basically saying like, there's no problem at all. Look away from this. And the photos from the event, I'm looking at a sign that says Dave is funny. So someone to support Dave Chappelle just showed up with a sign. They felt the need to take time out of their day to go down there and be like, Dave's funny. Just stop being upset.
Me like Dave.
Dave good.
Like a really angry trans person is going to go, well, he's making a point.
Yeah. It feels like a giant. It feels like one of those things where it's like, why? Okay, I guess you're just looking for something.
That's
to do
a troll.
Today.
We've had I get it for 21 years.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. I'm trying to apply logic to an illogical.
And even if you agree with that,
I get it with
you go
Dave
there to
funny.
Do that, you're definitely trolling.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Mm. I watched the whole special again last night.
Which one?
Chappelle.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I haven't watched it yet. I've had some friends tell me it wasn't funny. And not because of any off-color stuff. Just in general, it wasn't like his last few. But I haven't seen it yet. But I'm going to see it because I like Chappelle.
We were talking about this earlier. I think Chappelle's a genius.
Yeah.
And he makes me laugh out loud a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But when I watch a Chappelle special, I rarely laugh.
Really?
I love it. He's more of a philosopher to me than like a Brian Regan or a Seinfeld or, you know. But, yeah, it's really, it's a really, whichever side of the debate you're on, it's a really interesting special.
Dave is funny. So dumb.
3:49 DGS. Trish Gazelle is homesick, so Wheels is hanging out with us for a little bit longer today. How are sports?
Pretty good if you're a hockey fan. Blues had another good performance last night. It was actually the first time that, I wouldn't say the first time, this was their best all-around performance last night. Beat Vegas 3-1. Vegas and Colorado are supposedly two of the three best teams in the West, and the Blues are kind of close to that, right? I don't know that the North American press, you know, counting Canada, I'm not sure that the hockey world puts them quite at that level, but they're like close, and they beat both of them here in the first few days. So
good.
Yeah, and they're both missing people. I mean, it's fair to point out that, you know, both teams were missing two of their top six forwards, and the Blues are missing one of their top six yesterday too, so not too bad.
What did the national media think make of the Mike Schilt firing?
It's a great question because I've asked every person that I've had on here recently about that, and they all said kind of the same thing. Like, wow, that was surprising. I mean, you don't see very often a homegrown guy who came up through the system, who, you know, did things their way all the time, all the way up, and then makes the playoffs 3 years in a row and then gets let go. That's not normal. Every one of them was like, yeah, nobody saw that coming. Mm-hmm. But in talking to a couple of guys lately, they've made mention of hearing some things. I talked to a guy named Scott Miller yesterday, who used to be a national baseball writer. He does work now for Bally Sports San Diego. He covers the Padres out there, and he's covering the playoffs for the New York Times. But he's really, really good baseball guy. And he said that kind of the buzz around the playoff venues when all the guys are there, all the national guys are there, was that maybe this got started a little sooner. Like, this was, you know, maybe in the regular season, they thought they might be able to work past it, and then the meetings basically reinforced that they couldn't. But everybody's kind of looked at it the same way, that it's unexpected, but nobody was, like, enraged either. Nobody was like, this is such a terrible thing. Because I think people understand that the way that front offices work now is that they want, I don't know what the right word is here, because compliance is too strong, but they want the manager's office and the front office to have no problems with communication, no disagreements. You'd like everything to be on the same page because the plan is much bigger than just what one person sees.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, not a lot of shock and surprise, but a little bit more kind of feel for it. But nobody has any real answers. Nobody knows exactly what it was.
Chances that Mike Schilt is coaching next year?
I mean, pretty good. I don't know if he'll be a major league manager next year, but he could. And that was one of the things that I talked about with Scott Miller yesterday, because he's in San Diego. He mentioned the Padres have some interest in him, and they could use somebody with his strengths, which was, you know, really strong commitment to fundamental defense and base running. And those are things the Padres have had trouble with, but they have a ton of talent. So, you know, he might be the kind of guy that fits for them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say he will be on a major league staff again as soon as he wants to be.
Yeah.
I don't know how quickly it'll be a manager, but it could be this year.
Okay, let me be stupid like some of your callers. I'm kind of fascinated by this. If you took like Jerry West, Bob Cousy, those guys, and gave them modern medicine and nutrition and weightlifting, would they kill the NBA now because they had such better fundamentals?
They would be, well, this is the thing that I do all the time. People have to understand that every player is a product of their generation. So if they came up now, they'd be coming up under today's rules and today's way of doing things. So they'd be on the showcase circuit. They'd be out there playing AAU. So their skill set would be different. It just would be. But you're right. They would be bigger and stronger and faster. And, you know, if you, it's just like if you had plopped, let's say, LeBron James into the 1950s. Well, he wouldn't have been 270 pounds. And jacked. He'd have been a skinny guy. And he would have still been good, but his game would have been different. He would have been more of a post player. He wouldn't have been a perimeter guy handling the ball.
Let me ask it another way. I don't feel like LeBron James and those guys, like when I played seventh grade basketball, it was so boring because it was all bounce pass, bounce pass, bounce pass. And I don't feel like those guys have those basic skills because they're so good at the run and gun, but I'm probably wrong. They probably have all those and more.
They're different. I mean, like they train differently now. They're not, you're right. They're not working on the two-hand chest pass. They're not working on, you know, the old school, you know, set shot, right? Where you don't, your feet don't leave the ground. The game is above the rim. So you're playing that way. The game, because when you think about it, everything's different, right? Not just offense. The defensive players are 7 feet tall and run like guards did 25 years ago. You people always like, well, they don't have the fundamental mid-range jump shot. Yeah, because that'll get shot back into your face. You're not getting the shot off. These guys are two steps from you with that long range and those long arms. So you've got to be it's a different game. So you're shooting from further out if you're not a big guy, or you're further in if you're a big guy. It's one or the other. The in-between stuff just doesn't exist very well.
It's a great explanation. Yeah. How about baseball? Like Dave Concepcion from the 74 Reds comes and he plays shortstop for the Cardinals.
Yep.
He's great.
Yep, he'd be the same defensive player. He'd be positioned differently, but his skill set would translate. The defensive skill set in baseball for most positions translates. It's a little different for catchers because their emphasis is on different things and they use different stances and all that. But in that case, yes, it would translate. But obviously, you know, he'd probably be 20 pounds heavier.
You'd hang a little bit longer?
Sure, yeah.
Awesome.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!